book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse number 19. Do you see it? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Hey, look, God's not a man that he should lie. In other words, God's not a liar. When we read the word, God is not lying to us ever. You know, you read it in the word and it says, Jesus said on occasion, truly, truly, and then it's translated in the King James, verily, verily, I say unto thee. You remember that? That's just a statement of absolute truth that he's emphasizing the fact that this may be hard for you to get your thoughts around, but I'm telling you the truth. That when you speak to a mountain and say, be thou removed, right? Cast it out into the sea, it shall do what? It'll obey you. Now, that may be very hard for you to grab a hold of, but I'm telling you the truth. He's telling us the truth. He's not a man that he should lie. And the scriptures are also very plain about the fact that God is the same. He's the same God in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. So don't get this idea that you don't ever need to get into the Old Testament, because you do too. The Old Testament is filled with types, filled with things. The Old Testament, in fact, I'm going to start going into some of the types, not tonight, but I'm going to do a series on types. I taught a whole 15-week course on types in a Bible school one time. And types, there's some really neat types in the Word. And once you start catching on to the certain types in the Word, there are some that are more obscure than others. But once you start that, you'll want to read more in the Old Testament. The Old Testament has good things in it. And God didn't change from a killer in the Old Testament to one who blesses and gives life in the new. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday meaning all the way back to the very beginning. Before man was ever here, God always has been, always will be, and he is the same. He is a merciful, loving, good God. That's why we say God is good, and he's good all the time, and he's good on purpose, and he's been good forever, and he will continue to be good for eternity. Amen. And he cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie. Say that. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, I want you to hold on to that. And now go to Titus chapter 1, all the way into the New Testament, right before the book of Hebrews, the book of Titus. Well, Philemon's in between there, but it's right before Titus, Philemon, and then Hebrews. Titus chapter 1, look at verse number 2. Start at verse 1. We'll read 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now, I just want to stop right there. That's all I wanted you to see from that. God does not lie. We've already seen it in another place in the Old Testament. We see it in the New. Hebrews 13, verse number 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ never lied. Lying is a sin. You realize that, right? Yeah. Taking the truth and kind of expanding it. Some people say, well, he just has a vivid way of explaining things. No, he's a liar, okay? He stretches the truth. Remember, whenever you stretch the truth, what happens? It'll always snap back. Amen. Right. So, God and his word cannot be separated. God is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God. I change not, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6. Okay. He's the same. So he's not lying to us. And the scriptures, I'm telling you, there's some things in the word that we look at, we have to be reminded, this is the Lord talking to us, and this is the truth. And this one regarding forgiveness is one that we need to hang on to. Amen. So God and his word are one. John 17, verse 17, many of you know that verse. Father, thy word is truth. Remember, John 17, verse 17. So the word is truth. Whoa, there you go. Not a lie. And God and his word are one. I've always said this to you, but it's really it's the truth. That if you can separate a person from their word, if you can say, well, he said that, but all right, here he is, but he said this over here. You can't put the two together because who he is and what he says don't always go together. You'd have to call that person a liar, right? If you can separate a person from their word, there's a dividing line and the truth is not in them. Now, you cannot separate God and his word. When you read the word is truth. Yeah, but pastor, there's some things in the word that were lies. Yeah, there's some things that are recorded that were lies that people said. Right? How many times did the Pharisees lie about Jesus? How many times did the Sadducees do that? How did Joseph's brothers, did they not lie about the situation to the dad, you remember? Well, here's the coat. You see, an animal got him. Liars. The word and the recording of it are given to you and I to instruct us. Not everything in the word of God, now hear me and hear me very carefully, you know what I'm going to say. Not everything in the word of God was God-inspired in its act. David committing adultery with Bathsheba is a very simple one. God didn't tell him to do that. Moses killing the Egyptian and burying his body in the sand. God didn't tell him to do that. Is it recorded in the word, yes or no? Yes. Was it a good thing? No. Just because it's recorded in the word doesn't mean it was necessarily a good thing. But the giving of the word, the presentation of the word, and the recording of things, both good and bad, the good you learn from the good, don't we? Sure. But you can also learn from the bad stuff. Goliath railing against God was not a godly thing, was not a good thing. But it's recorded in the word. See? So the word has been given for our instruction so that we can increase in understanding. Yeah, so just understand, it's the giving of the word as a whole to mankind. That's what Timothy's talking about there. But you know, not everything in the word was godly. There's some ungodly things recorded for our admonition. Some things that people did that we shouldn't get into. Amen? Yeah, I was listening to a brother today, and he was talking about there's a lot of thou shalt nots in the Old Testament. Right? But did you know there's a whole lot of thou shalt not in the New Testament too? Think about it. You know, I mean, you're supposed to, now in the you know, in the Old Testament, you have thou shalt not kill, you should not, take the name of the Lord in vain and have false gods before you, and the Ten Commandments, and steal, you shouldn't steal, and all that. What does the New Testament say? We say, well, you shouldn't lust after things. The New Testament is even a little more strict. You can't even look with the intent. You're not supposed to commit adultery. That's a sin. But even looking in the New Testament is a sin. With the Hebrew says, idolatrous tendencies. In other words, you'll do whatever you have to do to get that woman. It didn't matter. Or that man. You know, you don't want to be a man burglar. Amen. Anyway, but. well, it's true. 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 Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Now, so the word is truth. God and his word are one. God doesn't lie. The word has some things to say to us that are very pointed. In fact, this next 10 minutes, you're probably going to go, man, I don't know if I like all that. Well, you know, we're going to take the word anyway because the word is good. God and his word are one. If God said that you shouldn't do this, remember, he's given you the power to walk above sin. This, Pentecost, is that tomorrow, Jerry? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So, the giving of the Holy Spirit has been accomplished on that day of Pentecost, back Shavuot, back in Acts chapter 2. And we read about it in the book of Acts in the New Testament. But it's understanding that the Holy Spirit was given so that you could be more effective doers of the word. His power dwelling on the inside of you, it shouldn't just be to have a meeting. It should be for service out here. Your life all the time. The Spirit of God living in you, breathing in you, empowering you to do the things that you are told that you should do and to not do the things you're told not to do. It's not just for a hallelujah at church, little talking in tongues. That's not what the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit's all about. It's more about life service and the empowering to do something, okay? And we'll go into that more, not tonight, but more on Sunday. Where'd I have you turn? Matthew 5? Okay. So, God's not a man that he should lie. He does not lie. His word is truth. You can't separate him from his word. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9. Blessed, ashrei is the Hebrew word meaning happy. People are always wanting happiness. How? What do I? I just want to be happy. Well, then do what every one of these blessed things are telling you to do. These beatitudes, attitudes that should be in us. These are things you do. Look at verse 9. Blessed, ashrei, blessed, happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, God says that you'll be happy if you're a peacemaker. If you're a troublemaker, you're not going to be happy. If you're always looking for some reason to get into strife or find some little something to get offended at or be mad at somebody or hang on to something, trust me, you're not a happy person. Right? I mean, how many of y'all know people that they're holding on to so much baggage, so much stuff in their life, there's no way they can be happy. So here, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, in the same chapter, look at verse 23. You may have to turn the page. I do. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Oh, wait a minute. It's not even talking about you having a problem with somebody. It's talking about you know that somebody's got a problem with you. Before you give your offering, before you bring your gift to the altar, and you remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Now, Jesus had something to say about this in Matthew chapter 18, did he not? Sure he did. He said if he refuses, then take somebody with you, and if then bring him before the church. And if he refuses then to repent, treat him as a publican and a sinner. Treat them that way. How are you supposed to treat publicans? How are you supposed to treat people out there in the world? You're supposed to hate them, or are you supposed to show the love of Jesus toward them? There are people walking around this city that are born again Christians that absolutely are not nice people, and I've met some of them. I went in a business one day that's owned by a Christian. Goes to a church, I'm not going to say which one, I'm not going to say which business. I take it back. I called on the phone. We're building the fence in our backyard, and I needed 10-foot tall poles. The fence around our court is 10 feet high. It's tall. It has to be. You don't put a little short, you have a ball bounce right over top of it. Now, with me, it doesn't really matter. I don't hit them over the fence like some of y'all, but anyway. Teasing, just teasing. Sure as I say that, you know, it's like, man. where was I? Okay, I called this business and needed a pulse. I told him who I was. I said, hey, I'm pastor of the church here in town. I knew he was a Christian, and I thought that would be a good point of break the ice, a little fellowship. He hung up on me. I called back, and he never did talk to me. And I realized right then and there, he doesn't want my business. He knows I'm a tongue talker. And I'm like, wow, serious? So I was just thinking about him today, and I decided to bless him again. Just bless him. The time I drive by his business, I have to bless him. Why? Because blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I know he's got aught against me. I don't even know the man's name. But I know he doesn't like me. And if he met you, he wouldn't like you either. Well, maybe he would. Not once he knew you're talking tongues, because the church he goes to thinks speaking in tongues is of the devil. And we're brothers in Christ. That's sad. But blessed, happy will be the peacemakers. So what do? Do I go approach the guy? All I'll say is I'm the pastor of that church, and boom, the door will slam. But the bottom line is I don't hold aught in my heart against the man. I really don't. And again, I don't even know his name. But I know his business. You know his business? No, I don't know his business. I know what business he has. In chapter 6, go over there. So you're told to forgive right here before you give your offering, right? Look at chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Whoa. This is right on the heels of Jesus giving us that pattern for prayer that we have so commonly called the Our Father. But it's really a pattern of how we ought to go about our prayer. And verse 14, this is right after amen, after you said the Our Father, you know. Amen. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Isn't that wonderful? Look at the rest of it, verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, he is not able to be separated from his word. He doesn't lie. He's telling us the truth. Some people want to try to sidestep this whole thing in order to hold on to unforgiveness because, after all, you don't know what they did to me, and you don't know how they treated me in my life. I know they didn't nail spikes through your hands and jam a crown of thorns on your head and nail it through your ankles as well and whip you within an inch of your, you know, life being taken from you, and you have the audacity to say you don't know what they did to me? No, I don't know exactly what they did, but I can tell by looking at you they haven't nailed you on a cross. Amen? Well, that's easy for you to say. Are you kidding me? I've walked around with a target on me for years. I've got people that hate me and don't even know me. Ever since I bought this car out here, I've been given the middle finger salute so many times in the last 3 years, you wouldn't believe it. And I, why? guy pull up next to me and I'm like, you know, the man in me goes, I'm going to take that finger and break it off. And then the Lord says, blessed are the peacemakers. And you can't hold unforgiveness. Well, let me rephrase that. I can hold unforgiveness if I choose to, but that disqualifies me for the covenant blessings that I have a right to. So how am I going to live this thing out? Am I going to hold a grudge against somebody? I don't even know their name. Just because he gave me this? You notice I did this. Yeah, okay. Because of that? You remember the lady the day that gave me the finger out here? I told you I was driving the Cobra and I passed her and she was smoking that cigar. About an 85-year-old grandma. And I just, she was putting up, she was killing mosquitoes or something. There was fog everywhere. And I had the top down. I'm like, oh, I went by her. She looked at me and shook her fist and gave me the finger as she pulled that cigar out and nailed it. And I'm glad I wasn't behind her because the smoke was like, it looked like the thing was on fire. And I can't remember, I don't think I pulled in here because I didn't want her to know I was. Keep going, man. Keep going. Jim, you know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, my gosh, man. Just, oh. Every one of you in here have a tale to tell about being out on the road and having somebody for no reason. And you're just minding your own business. In fact, you were praying in tongues while you're driving and somebody gives you that finger thing, you know? You're like, oh. Anyway, so look at verse 36. Oh, go to Luke. So Luke chapter 6, and we're just going to jump over here right quick. So he just said, if you don't forgive, neither will your father, right? Didn't it just say that? How many all read it? It said it. You saw it. So I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. No, I don't like that. I walk in grace and mercy. Yeah, and the one who extended the grace and mercy said, you need to forgive. Now, what has he done in order to make us able to forgive? He sent his spirit. His spirit lives in you. His spirit is the impetus behind this word. He and his word are one. You can forgive people for big things, for little things, and for everything in between. And you don't have a right to hold a grudge against anybody at any time. Period. We could say, end of discussion, we're done. But we're not. Amen. Look at Luke 6. Come on, Dan, get over to Luke 6. Look at verse 36. Be therefore merciful. Oh my, blessed are the peacemakers. Be merciful. This is the truth in flesh. Remember, the word made flesh. Father, thy word is truth. The word is made flesh. Truth is made flesh. Truth is speaking truth. Jesus is saying this. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Now right on the heels of it, give. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure you put it out, or meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Again, your walk of forgiveness, your walk of love is tied to your giving. Some people are like, I just don't know why, you know, I give and it just doesn't seem to make a difference. And, you know, there's always more month than money and all those stupid things. And that's real. But I think the first place to look is at your love walk. I really do. I really do. It's not maybe pleasant, but you're going, you know what? I think I've forgiven people until we mention that name. Hold it. Don't go there. Oh, what did you just say? I really don't walk in love. I'm holding on forgiveness, and I can't understand why my giving doesn't work. That's what you just said. Don't go there. We ought to be able to go there because you walk in the love of Jesus, right? Yeah. Come on, let's just be real here. The God in the flesh said this. He's not lying. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. So it's predicated by you and I walking in love. Now, you know, I'm not going to say it's always going to be easy because emotions are involved. Anytime a person steps over into unforgiveness, emotions are tied into that unforgiveness. I've been there. Oh, you think I'm not human? Slap me. I am. Ooh, don't tempt me, Pastor. I'll forgive you, okay? Yeah, boy, there you go. But notice it's right here. Forgive. Ooh, I like that. And you shall be forgiven. What does 1 Corinthians 3 talk about? You remember the book, 1 Corinthians? And in chapter 13, talks about love. And he said, you know, if you give your body to be burned, you give all your goods to the poor and have not love, it's not worth anything. So what's he saying? Your giving won't work unless you walk in love. It's not love to hold on forgiveness. Now, Jesus said this. So I'm sorry that people have gone through hard things with other people in this life, and you say, well, I've borne the scars of it. Well, Jesus walked about with scars that he bore so you and I could have victory over those other scars. Amen. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. Now, turn over to Mark 11 and we'll close right there, because I am going to do just a variation of the illustration that we've done before. But look at Mark 11, and this will make you want to forgive people. Okay? You should want to forgive people. I don't care who they are. And then, and you know what? And many of us have been amazed. The brother of that man in Dallas, Texas, who the off-duty policewoman, she went into the wrong apartment and thought he was in her apartment, and she in actuality was in his apartment, and she shot him and killed him. And that's horrible. Did you see the young man who, this guy was a youth pastor, by the way, who died? It's just a tragic thing, just tragic. The brother met with the woman at the court, I think it was, and she was sentenced to a certain period of time behind bars. Somebody said, well, good. Now, you know what? She may have just really thought she was in her own place. I'm not going to pass judgment one way or another. What I was very impressed with was the young man. This woman who shot his brother dead in his own house, apartment, forgave this woman, hugged her, decided that he wasn't going to live his life in unforgiveness and bitterness, took the life of his blood brother. Wow. I was impressed by that. And I got to thinking about how that would test every one of us, would it not? But God didn't do that. There are such things as accidents, you know? And don't right away go, well, it was on purpose and she tried to get away with it. And, you know, I don't know the motive and all that. She claims that's, you know, wasn't the case. But the fact is, this young man forgave her. And you've seen that in other cases. I've also seen it go the other way. Guy in an airport waiting on a guy who was being taken in handcuffs. He had been brought in. They caught him, and they were taking him, going to take him someplace to a correctional facility or whatever, and he's walking smiling. He had been convicted of raping and killing this man's 10-year-old daughter or something. And you see him in the background. He's on a telephone at a phone booth in the airport. Puts the phone down, turns around, and right there on the spot, ended that man's life. And you know what? They let him off because of the duress that he was under for committing that act of murder. And that was murder. It was premeditated. God's the judge. You and I cannot step into that area of unforgiveness and get away with it. To whom much is given, much is also required back again. Now, you know better. There are some people that genuinely think, if they watch this tonight, you go into the Word and you look. Mark 11, look here. This is right on the heels of, you know, speak to the mountain. What things serve you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Verse 25, but when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Guys, he said it. I didn't. It's true. So, you remember the illustration when I put a chair on my head? I wanted to do the chairs again tonight. She said, don't do that. You were complaining that your back was hurting the other day. I'm like, you know, that's because I was out in the yard working for 6 to 8 hours. You think this boy has enough hats? This is only just a very, very small number of hats. I haven't seen that one in a while. That's a good one. Anyway, is the Darryl Waltrip autographed one in here? Or Michael? Anyway, he didn't let me have that one. So I commit a sin, and I'm in unforgiveness, and too much hair. Okay, that doesn't fit. He said he'd make them fit for me, and they're not fitting. And I got into unforgiveness toward somebody, and feels like it's pinching my head, man. And then I say, well, you know, God understands. John, that's a different camera. That one's not video, and this one is. God understands. They had it coming. So I go around with this sin that I've put on of unforgiveness. And now I commit another sin. And it's because he ticked me off and I let him have it. I love Terry, you know that. I've got to use somebody. You just happen to be on the front row. And remember, this orange one is unforgiveness, because I got into unforgiveness towards somebody and I'm wearing that still. Now I want to get rid of this strife with Terry, so I say, hey, Terry, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Forgive me, blah, blah, blah. Now this unforgiveness is towards somebody over here that's not Terry. It's somebody else. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm cool. I get rid of this. Father, forgive me of that sin of strife with Terry. It didn't come off. You know why? I haven't forgiven. This one has to come off before any of the others will. So then a day later, I see something on TV, and I get all bent out of shape, mad over something, and now I've put on another. I got into sin again. And then I realize it's wrong. Father, forgive me of that sin of anger. Okay, then I go over to the restaurant and I eat like a sow, and just turn into a pig, and now I'm into gluttony. Gluttony is a sin. It is. If you're given to an appetite, what you're supposed to do? The Bible says, put a knife to your throat. And I don't really, but it means deal with it. Forgive me for eating so much and I feel sick. Oh, God, forgive me. None of these are being forgiven. Why? If you do not forgive, neither will your father. You get the idea? You can't get away with holding unforgiveness toward people. The sins begin to stack up. If you don't forgive, yeah, but there's grace. The one who gave grace is the one who said this. Once you get rid of the one, they'll all go. Amen? I told somebody the other day, go ahead, stand to your feet. I told somebody the other day, I need an afro again. She had an afro, and I said, I were ordering at the restaurant, and I said, I really like your hair. She said, well, thank you. And I said, believe it or not, I used to have one bigger than that. She looked at me like, yeah, right. I said, I did. I really did. I got pictures to prove it, man. I looked like, oh, gee. Hey, sister. Hey. You knock it off. That was in the staying alive time, you know. I was staying alive. Yeah, and said, you do that, don't come home. Like, okay. Yeah. I'll forgive you for that, you know. Anyway. But do you see, you can't walk in unforgiveness. The sins begin to stack up. Would you think you're asking for forgiveness for something else over here, and you haven't dealt with the bottom line issue of unforgiveness? I would suggest you get rid of all unforgiveness. I don't care if it's an ex-mate. I don't care if it's somebody who cheated you terribly. I don't care if it's somebody who did something. It doesn't matter who they are. There's no, you know, particulars given that you have an out. You can hold unforgiveness toward a person if they did this to you. Wow, this is going to separate those who are serious about living for the Lord and going on, and those who want to hold on to things and try to justify it. We'll even have people get mad at me over this. Huh. I don't know who he thinks he is. I don't think I'm anything other than just the messenger. Take it up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and see how far you get. I hate it that people have hurt you. I hate it that you've gone through bad things in your life. I hate it that I've gone through them, but we don't have a right to hold it against anybody. We can't. Oh, justice. God is the giver of justice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight that we in ourselves are not capable. No, we're not capable ourselves of doing this. We need your help. You have given us your spirit to live and dwell in us. And because of that indwelling life, your spirit in us, the giver, oh my goodness, of life, the one who penned the word, breathed the breath of life into us that caused us to be born again. You live in us, and you have given us not only the command to do it, but the power to carry it out. And I thank you and praise you tonight in the name of Jesus. For my brothers and sisters, regardless of who has done what, they will forgive. They will walk in forgiveness. They will not allow the enemy to sow the seeds of discord in their life, not one moment longer, in Jesus' name. And I thank you that we're free. And I thank you, Father, and praise you that we'll walk free and walk in power. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we pray. If you all agree, say amen.